church. We need to release children. Those involved with children's church. See you, bud. Man, he's yeah. I don't blame him. I'd be in a hurry to get out and hear my preaching too. Thank you, Doug and Shelley. We continue on our Sermon on the Mount. We finished up chapter 5 last week. Standards of the Master is our sermon series. But we finished up, if you remember, chapter 5 began with Jesus kind of telling us this is what kingdom citizenship looks like. This is what citizens of the kingdom should be and act. Or he's saying this is what, in the Beatitudes, this is what you're to look like as children of the King. Kingdom citizens. And then he got into the law, fulfilling the law, and how the scribes and Pharisees, if you remember our memory verse, he said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he lists off the six illustrations of what that looked like. You've said it and heard it said of old, I say of you. And then we finished up last week, if you remember, about loving our enemies. And he summed it all up that when we love the right way, all these other things fall into place. And as he finished in verse 48, when he says, therefore be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And then we realize, man, that was a lick. What a lick to think about the perfection that God expects of us. But then he showed us, by mentioning Father, that relationship that we have. And because of that relationship, we can meet his standards. God never requires that which he doesn't provide. Okay? And what a great thought. And so when we get into chapter 6, we're starting to see, we saw that what kingdom citizens should be. Now we're going to see how kingdom citizens should act. And so we're going to see him flesh this out for us. And he's going to encourage us in the relationship. Because time and time again, you're going to see Father in heaven. Father in heaven. Aren't you glad we have a Father in heaven this morning? Praise God that we have a relationship through him, through his Son, Jesus Christ. We have this Heavenly Father. We have been reconciled, the Scripture says, back to him. We were separated from sin, but because of what Christ has done, we've been reconciled back, and now we have this relationship. And so I want you to know then, we need to please our Father. And we live to please our Father, and we'll flesh that out a little bit as we get into this sermon today. And we're talking about the idea of tooting your horn. Tooting your horn. And I was wondering, where that old saying come from. Oh, he's tooting his horn. I just wonder if it came from these scriptures today, and you'll see we'll try to flesh that out a little bit. But we all know what tooting our horn is, right? Well, I don't want to say anything, but let me tell you about what happened. I don't want to draw attention to myself, but to be honest, we all like recognition. That's part of our flesh. And there's nothing wrong with being recognized for work. You know, a lot of you guys work hard. There's nothing wrong with being recognized. But there's something about, see, Jesus tells us, he says, this is what kingdom citizens should look like. This is what they should do. But when we start living that out, we got to be very careful that we don't start living it out, that people see you living that out, that your reward comes from what people think about you. Now, I know we live in America, and what people think about us a lot of times controls what we do, how we dress, all these things. But I want you to know something. There's something much more important. The Bible says don't be a man pleaser, but be a God pleaser. And so if we're not careful when we're living and we're fleshing out this kingdom citizenship, our righteousness will be done that others will see it and think, well, he's a good fella. He's a good Christian. That is not why we live it out. I'm going to show you, we're going to see there. Wait a minute now, what do you mean? Because over in verse 16, he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. So we're living it in front of people. There's nothing wrong with that, but it says, if you don't, you got to finish it up when it says, so that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So there's this balance that we have to, we'll flesh out as we get into this scripture today. And so I want us to think about this. Loving sacrificially, we talked about last week. You remember the more factor that we have when we love beyond that which a lot of times we think is required of us. It's when Christ's love, agape, when we love people that are being mean to us, that are despitefully using you, who are persecuting you, then we get this idea and this right standard to live. And I want us to see how Jesus said, this is when we start thinking that way and we start loving properly, Let's be motivated properly, too. Let's do it for the proper motives. And so that's when we get in today. Let's examine these principles on proper giving. He's talking about giving today. And so I want us to see first and tune in our heart the danger. Look at verse 1. It says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven." He starts out letting them know, wow, take heed, he says. Beware. And that actually means to hold or take hold of. You know what he's saying? Pay attention. It's serious. When we hear Jesus say, beware or take heed, listen to what he said. He said, I want you to listen to what I have to tell you. There's a danger here. And the first charitable deeds there, really in verse 1, is better translated righteousness. Although they can be exchanged, but he's saying, make sure that your righteousness is not done before men. Your right actions, your right living for God is not done just for men. And it sets the stage, really, for the rest of the illustrations. And it's speaking of a false humility. Think about the Pharisees who he's talking to. They were masters at that, at living in this false humility. They were all about their religion was more of an act. It really hadn't penetrated the heart. Remember, he's been telling us the whole chapter 5 that, man, your heart's problem, not what you're doing outside. You think it, if you do these things, it makes you right with God. He said, it's your heart. And so that whole their whole religious, what they based it on was an act. As long as we went through the motions, if we're not careful. Now listen, if we're not careful, we think as long as we come to church and we try to be a decent person, that makes us right. I'm going to tell you, that never makes us right with God. The only way is when our heart is regenerated and we come into a saving knowledge of Christ that we live out what it is that God expects of us. And so I want you to think about this idea of Jesus is blistering the Pharisees always, isn't he? He's always saying, man, look at how you live. Look at your religion. And they were the very religious elite. And he's saying, man, there's something wrong. You're going through the actions, but the heart's not changing. And so it can speak to us, too, as we see. Here's my deal. Here's what I want us to think about. What is the motives for what you do? What is your motive? I'm going to tell you, it takes some time peeling the skin, peeling the layers back on the onion. I wrote in one of my devotions yesterday, you know, we dressed up, didn't we? We had fun last night. We put on masks and we put on costumes. If we're not careful, we do it every day. We dress up and pretend that we're something that we're not. And I'm going to tell you, true worship means taking the mask off and being real before God. Why? Because he knows anyway. He knows anyway. It's living our life out before him. It's very serious. And so we need to understand that delicate balance between poised question of letting your light shine before men and then also not doing your righteousness so people can see it. And I hope that we'll get that before we end. So this is, what am I supposed to do, Lord? You tell me to shine my light, but don't let anybody, it's not about bringing glory to myself. It's not that men will think good of me. It's to bring glory to God. So how is it that I'm supposed to live it out? The Christian life, when I'm shining my light, listen, everything that I do, it's not about drawing attention to myself. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is hard for a pastor that stands before people every week. And when you're reading this out and you know that you got to preach, you're going to be before somebody, it's hard. But let me tell you, it's very refreshing because I start asking myself, why is it? What is it that I do? I'm studying these scriptures and all, and I'm not careful. Do I want to be a man pleaser or a God pleaser? And somebody that's up before people every day, if you're not careful, you want the praises of people. You want people to like you. If you're not careful, that's why you do it. It should never be for that. It should be to bring glory to God and to preach God's word and to see lives change. And so whatever I do, when I sing, I couldn't sing that. If I ever get this crud, I'll get back to sing. I love to sing. When I sing, though, what I do it for the glory of God. When I preach, I do it for the glory of God. When I give, I do it for the glory of God. Everything I do for the glory of God. And that's what he's talking about. There's a danger, if not, that we're doing it to attract attention to ourselves. It's being desired to be seen, and so we got to be very careful with that. So it takes work. Why do I do the things that I do? Well, this is what it looks like. instituting our... I want you to see what it says in verse 2. It says, therefore, when you do your charitable deeds, do not sound a trumpet. That's where I wonder if it's about tooting your horn. Do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. They have, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. And so he's saying, listen, this is the danger, and this is what it looks like when we're blowing our own horn. We blow the trumpets and let everybody know this is what I'm getting ready to do. If we're not careful, I've met many people that don't even know that they're that way. I'm going to challenge you to do something this week. Challenge. This is a challenge coming from your pastor. Do something for somebody this week. And don't tell anybody else. Just between you and God. I'm talking about not even your spouse, okay? Talk about you, God. Do something for somebody and see how difficult that it is. See how difficult it is. That's your challenge for the week. Do something for somebody. Don't tell anybody else, not even your spouse. Just you and God. You're giving it to God. And see how difficult it is. And that shows us, if we're not careful, why is it that we do what we do? And so we see that he says these charitable deeds here now, it's not like the same one, like your righteous, but it's talking about almsgiving. And that was a part of that culture, almsgiving. And we know that Jesus believed in it. He had the money bag. Remember, Judas, he was the one carrying it, but he had a money bag, and they would give to the poor. And he says, don't do these things to be seen. Look, charitable deeds means alms. Literally refers to the acts of mercy or pity, or often in terms of giving money, food, or clothing to the poor. And this is something that's going to be seen. So he said, serious. It's serious, he said, beware, but it's also seen. The things that we do. And Jesus said, be careful that you don't do it. Augustine said, listen, he said, the love of honor is the deadly bane of true piety. Other vices bring forth evil works, but this brings forth good works in an evil way. When we do things for the wrong motives to be seen. Please notice in this scripture here in verse 2, what does it say? Therefore, when you do your charitable deeds, not if you decide to do it, it says when. So it's Jesus expects us to do it. It's our obligations and kingdom children to be givers. Was he a giver? He most certainly was. He gave it all. He expects us to be givers, to look and take care of needs and all these things. And so it's not if, it's when you do it. God delights in acts of mercy and generosity. And we know that we see that Jesus, all through his life, anywhere that he went, what was he doing? He was helping others. He's still helping others, by the way. Praise God that men and women, it doesn't matter whether you're in El Salvador. By the way, thank you for your prayers. We had a wonderful trip and saw some good preaching and heard some good preaching. And, man, it's wonderful to understand that the gospel penetrates hearts. It doesn't matter where you're at. That's the need of each and every one of us. Jesus is still giving. He's still the answer for your family members. He's still the answer for your coworkers. He's still the answer for this world that's turned upside down. And he wants us to be givers also, to give of ourselves and to do it in the right manner. The scribes and the Pharisees gave to bring honor to themselves, not to serve and honor God. The choice is to please God or to please men. That's the choice. When we please men, we're ultimately, think about it, pleasing ourselves. Because we're wanting people to think well of ourselves. We want to be a man pleaser is easy to pick out. Very easy to pick out. Why? They want everybody to love them. They want everybody to like them. And if somebody don't, oh, it kills them. Everybody to love them. We want people to think good of us. That's everybody, okay? I know nobody in here says, I just don't want people to like me. We want people to like us, but I'm talking about when our motivations are, that's we're the people that we are to make somebody. And there's a lot of people that are just don't even know who they are really because they've been trying to please somebody else. He says, do not sound the trumpet. Don't toot your horns, what he's saying. We're masters at blowing our own horn. And sadly, many people think they're bragging on Jesus, and they're actually bragging on themselves. And he says, don't do it. Look what he says. Synagogues and streets, he's saying, purposely attracting attention when we're giving our gifts. Purposely wanting everybody to know. The reward they wanted was the honor of men. Guess what? Paid in full. Jesus said, they got all the reward right there. They wanted to honor me, and Jesus said, pay in full. You got everything that you want because you're not going to get anything from God. You're going to get honored by God when we do that. When we give to please men, our only reward will be that which men can give. Seeking men's blessing forfeits God's. Listen, don't do publicly what you can do privately. Do it just for God. Don't do it that people, what people can think or how they think of you. But do it unto God, our Heavenly Father. Because that's what it looks like. But this is what it should look like. Look at verses 3 and 4. But when you do your charitable deeds, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deeds may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret himself will reward you openly. I'm going to tell you, it's possibly a proverbial expression, but I want you to say, I scratch my head when you think about this. How do I do and help people without my left hand knowing what my right hand's doing? Think about that for a minute. We're attached, okay? So I'm thinking, I had to think about this, chew on it for a little bit. What's he talking about there? Not doing it where my left hand doesn't know what my right hand is doing. And so I had to really chew on this a little bit. And I thought about the idea is of a spontaneous heart. It's a giver, a true giver. It's not like I plan, I'm going to do this because that's the right thing to do. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I hate it when I think it because I want it to be in my heart. If you live in, by the Word and you go by the Word, you know in your head the right thing to do, but sometimes that's the only thing that's guiding you, when your heart should be what's motivating you. A heart to please and to love Jesus. Yes, I want it to go 18 inches. Does that make any sense? I want it to become who I am, not what I'm thinking and knowing that's the right thing to do. That's a discipline. There's nothing wrong, but getting to the point that you're just a giver spontaneously. It's not like you're planning on, I'm going to do this. Nothing wrong with having planned out things, but it's talking about when you see needs, you know what you do? You just cause out of a heart of love and care for God. You meet them. It's not letting your left hand or right hand know. And here's the deal. It's in secret to our left hand, not to mention other people. Right? If it's spontaneously, you're not doing it for the praises of other people. One way to accomplish this, listen to this, don't keep spiritual ledgers. Don't keep spiritual ledgers. No profits and lost accounts in your life. Do things as you are moved by the Spirit of God, Spirit-led. Be Spirit-led. Let the Holy Spirit of God touch you. Don't keep ledgers. Well, I've done this. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I did this, this, and this. Or I didn't do that, so I'm not feeling pretty good. Where the people, listen, this is where it gets really touchy for all of us. Whether the people we help are grateful or ungrateful does not matter as far as our own purpose is concerned. Now, come on. Somebody's ungrateful and you're trying to help them, you know what you do? Well, I just won't help them no more. Let's be honest. When somebody's grateful and thankful, we tend to be all right with that. But it didn't say anything about that here, did it? So it has nothing to do with whether people we're helping are grateful or ungrateful. He's saying you just do it to God. You just do it to God, and it has not to do with your response. And I know that's where it gets very difficult, but we should be sorry for their sake, not our own. Right? Because they're missing that relationship with God. They're missing that where letting your light shine before men is the only purpose is for one reason, and that's to glorify God. Not for the results you get, not what people, how they react to you, not what they think about you, but that God, you can say, to God's glory. You can lay down at night and say, it's under the Lord. My day was under the Lord. Can you say that? When you lay down in the evening, my day was under the Lord. Every bit of it. If not, we need to start looking at our day. Proverbs 11:25 says, the generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. Now, this is not a prosperity gospel that you hear. It's not giving with the idea of getting. We never do it to get, receive, okay? That's the wrong idea. That's the prosperity way of doing things. This is sowing and reaping. This is spoke about in Galatians. This is sowing unto God. And you reap these things. God says, you know what? If you do this unto me, you'll be surprised at the blessings that return to you. But we don't do it for that. Why? And we'll see. We're gonna flesh this on out. God's way is giving. He wants his children to be givers, okay? Verse 4 says, that your charitable deeds may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. He talks about rewards. You say, well, wait a minute. Maybe he said, don't do it to get. So there's this idea, there's this balance there about rewards. He said, your Father will reward you. We're not like the little dog. You know how you treat your little dog? Look, oh, sit up, look. Throwing that little piece, whatever your little bacon bit or whatever you're trying to train them to do. You lay down. It's not like that. It's not like God's up there saying, okay, Dave, you do it the right way. Look, throw me a bacon bit. That's not what he's saying. It's so the rewards of God, listen, you're experiencing the rewards of God right now. Okay? You're experiencing the rewards of God. You've got your health. You're able to sit here. We got a controlled environment. We're sitting on padded pews. Did they have any pads down there where we were at? Lee, they was all a little bit of hard benches, right? Old Leroy's over there. Look, after a while, we are experiencing the blessings of God. Listen, I want you to know His greatest blessing is presence. His presence, and we take that for granted. We're always in His sights. He says, your heavenly Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. You know what your reward is? Your relationship with Him. The presence of God in your life is your reward. Listen, if we have that, we don't need anything else. If we have the right relationship with Him and you're in the presence of God, you've got everything that you need, my friend. And he's talking about these rewards that you receive. Listen, if you receive anything, you know what you're going to do? You're going to throw it down at his feet one of these days. It's not like we're going to be prancing around in heaven. Look at my rewards. It's Jesus. And we're going to throw anything that we've done at his feet as if it was nothing. Why? Because he gave it all for us. And so this reward that he's talking about, your Father, he's going to reward you by making his presence known in your life. Do you have God's presence? Is he there with you at all times? Listen, if we understand this, he says, look, that your charitable deeds, that your Father who sees in secret will himself open you, that, you know what, there is no secret place with God. The psalmist, think about our devotions that you read in the morning. It's this idea of the presence of God, the people that wrote them, they're fascinated in the idea of the presence of God. It's always with them. What did the psalmist say? The psalmist said, oh, where can I go from his presence? It don't matter how far I run from the east to the west. Lord, you're there. He said, if I make my bed in the depths of hell, you're there. He said, where can you go from my presence? You cannot escape him. My friend, if we can get a hold of this today, every morning that we wake up, when you wake up in the morning to listen, I know it's Monday morning, right? But you know what it should be? Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you. Another day. And you sense his presence from the first breath and the first time you open your eyes. You sense his presence, my friend. That will change your day. The reward he's speaking about is that relationship, the Father and the Son relationship. Each day that you wake up, you say, you know what? You say, thank you, Jesus. Start your day like that in the morning. That's another challenge. Just start when the first thing you get up in the morning and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this day. Help me to live it out. You recognize him. Guess what? He's there. That should be every motive, his presence. If we were to grasp this, it would revolutionize our lives. I want you to think about the most fundamental and serious thing is that we're always in the sight of God. That might change some of the things that we do. We recognize we're in God's sight. Everything that we do. In fact, as I'm studying this out, and I'm thinking about this, it's talking about holiness, by the way. How we are in front. Who you are in the dark is your character, by the way, when nobody else is looking and we're not trying to please anybody but God. Could this be the key to revival? Could this be the key that we're looking for to revival in our own hearts and in America? When we come to the understanding that the presence of God is with us at all times, that we're in His sight, everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we think, every motive of our heart is before God. He sees us openly. We stand before Him openly. Could this be the thing that could change our idea and way of living for the Lord? This give it or take it. I go to church. I might go to church. If I don't have a football game I want to watch, I might go back to see Him. Presence of God, the people of God, it all ties in together. The depth of our heart is to realize I want to please Him. It'll motivate us to do. It'll take a lot of the selfishness out of us. When all we think of ourselves, oh, I've just had such a hard day, such a bad day, this and this and this and this has happened. You got Christ when God's right there. How did you handle it? He was right there with you. Do you got Him to hold on to? He's your ever-present need and help in time of trouble, is He not? That's what the Scripture says. And so this idea of this presence that He had in His life, and Jesus said, I want you to do your charitable deeds. I want you to do your righteousness. I want to do everything that you do with the understanding that you're doing it unto Me, unto God, our Heavenly Father. And He says He'll reward you, which is a good thing. And remember when He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You want to see God in your life? Recognize His presence with you at all times. See Him in everything that you do and everything that you try to honor Him in your decisions. God knows our hearts, our attitudes, and our motives. Every reward that is due will be given. Our greatest reward is the knowledge that we have pleased the Lord. Laying down at night, knowing that you've had a good day under the Lord. Please God today. I want us to think about couple things, two challenges again. Do something for somebody this week. Don't tell anybody else. It means you can't come. Pastor, I did what you told me. Can't even do that. Look. Just under the Lord. Just do something. See how hard it is not to tell somebody. And then, first thing in the morning when you wake up, say, hello. Hello, Lord. Start your day off with Him every day. Recognize Him because He's there. Recognize Him because He's there and His presence is always there. If you have a hard time with that, make sure that His presence is in here. Because if you don't have a relationship with God, you know, you don't understand this, what we're talking about here. You don't even have a clue of this. It's all this. That's all you know. But if you have a relationship through Christ with God the Father, then you start recognizing these things in your life. You start wanting to spend time with Him in His Word. You commune with Him and you draw strength from Him. And guess what? You can face even the bad days singing His praises. Well, applications. Lynn, if you'll come and start praying, we'll have a time to respond. Our applications, look. Understand that giving from the heart is investing in God. This is ROI, return on investment. Let me tell you something. The return on investment, ROI, is out of this world. Pardon the pun. Your investment. Understand that giving from the heart is investing in God. That's God's children. That's His kingdom. That's what He wants us to be. Listen, the responsibility of giving has no relationship with how much a person has. No, you don't see that. In fact, you remember the widow's mite. When she came up, she slipped up there. Didn't want anybody to see. She wasn't blowing a trumpet. What did she do? She slipped down two little mites in there. What Jesus said? Right there, my friends. Pointed her out. She didn't have a clue why she was given to the Lord. He said, she's given more than anybody else in here. Why? He said, she's given from her poverty, not from everything that she had. She's given God her very best. Oh, my friend, we can learn so much. So it's not a responsibility how much we have. You know what we should do? We should teach our kids to be givers. Man, we're teaching them to be takers. I don't know who's doing that, but we are flat. We're doing it. We're guilty. We're teaching them to be entitled. Hey, I own it. I should have everything. We're not teaching them to give unto the Lord. That's our responsibility. Give, kids. Look, if you get that $10, they're so happy with $10, they don't know one of these days it ain't going to mean hardly nothing, right? A McDonald's hamburger. But listen, they're so happy that $10, say, you know what? Give God a dollar of that. Teach them to be tithers, to be givers. Teach them young. And lastly, do we grasp the magnitude of understanding that we live in the presence of God? You grasp that this morning? You live under the watchful eye of God every day, everything that you do, everything that you say. Those little jokes that you think you're just talking about between your buddy, God's listening. The things that you look at, that you think on the internet nobody else is seeing, God's seeing it. It would change our lives and the way that we do things if we understand that we live in the presence of a holy and a righteous God. Let's all stand to our feet. Before Brittany sings, what is it God's up top speaking to you about this morning? What is it that He's laid on your heart? Could it be, hey, you might be somebody here who says, you know what, I just don't have this relationship, and I need that. I need the presence of God in my life through Christ. I don't have that. I've never had it. I played church. I've come to church, but I've never had this understanding of Christ died for me and reconciled me back to God, and I live in His presence. It could be, you know what, I just don't live that out. I just don't think about giving. And life for me is all about what I get. It's all about me. How's my day? How bad was my day? Not what. How's your day or what's going on? It's all about me. It could be that you're that kind of person. You know what? In Jesus' name, you can say, God, I want to be a giver. Don't make me a taker. It could be, you know what? Lord, I realize that I'm living in your presence, and there have been some things in my life and things I'm doing that you're just not pleased with. So I'm going to lay that down before the altar today. Whatever it is, do it as soon as the singing starts. Don't hesitate. Just make that commitment to God. Brittany. Do you surrender all this morning? One more verse. This is your verse. God's spoken to you. Lay it down this morning. Bible study during brother. You missed some good Bible studies. I'm telling you, some good. Kids need to sing in the choir, so bring your kids. And so, great evening. I love you. Look for opportunities to invite people to come to church with you. Look, we've got a lot of pews missing. And we fluctuate 20, 30 people anyway, and I don't understand that. I know it's very discouraging. But also, there's a lot of people out there that don't come to church because we don't ask.